time of worship in the lower level. Everlasting praise to him for the great grace of salvation in Jesus, but also everlasting praise to him for his grace in giving us mothers. And I echo Pastor Cole's welcome to you mothers this morning. It's a special day, and we are thankful for you mothers. And I want to talk to you mothers this morning. But before I do that, can I ask God for his enabling power? Thank you for the word of God. Thank you for your divine order. Thank you for this role of motherhood. We thank you for the family. And now, Father, we just know that we need a voice that is beyond us, right? Father, we listen to ourselves. We listen to the world. We listen to those around us. And it's this little short gap of time, half an hour on Sunday morning, that we corporately gather together to listen to another voice, and that's your voice that you've spoken to us through your word. So, Father, what a delight it is to quiet our hearts at your feet and listen. And that's what we want to do, and we are trusting you to speak through your word by your spirit. Thank you. Thank you, Father. We love you. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Mother's Day is a special day in American culture. I don't know, I've never lived anyplace else besides America, but I know it's a very special day as far as celebrations that will go on today. Many of you are here today. Some of you are here today honoring your mother. Some of our people are gone this morning. They're with their mothers, and it's a special time. It's a special day. It's unique even from Father's Day. Let's just be honest. The day that we set aside to remember moms. Over the years, I've learned and discovered that not everyone looks forward to Mother's Day. And oftentimes, I've learned this the hard way. For many of you this morning, it is a joyous, happy day as you celebrate your mom. But for some, it's not such a joyous day. It can be a day filled with sadness. And like I said, I've learned some of this the hard way. Maybe you've recently lost your mother, and you are experiencing the sorrow of your loss. Maybe your relationship with your mother isn't or wasn't the greatest. Maybe your mom passed away and you had unresolved issues with your mother. And maybe your mom isn't the ideal mother that we like to talk about on Mother's Day. Maybe you struggle this morning with feelings of guilt about your motherhood. And you've got a child that isn't going in the right direction, and you put all the blame on yourself. Or maybe you were never able to have children, and so this day reminds you of that pain and sorrow. Maybe today will be a long day for you, because while other mothers will be remembered, you'll receive no calls, no visits, or cards from your children. Or maybe it's a sad day because you're a single mom and you just feel maxed out and you struggle with the feelings again of failure. So I've discovered over the years that not everyone views Mother's Day through the same lens. And so over the years, I've tried to approach it from different angles and different perspectives. And I probably could categorize Mother's Day messages that I have shared into three different buckets. Bucket number one would be on Mother's Day, just the importance of honoring our mothers. Exodus chapter 20 and verse 12 says, "Honor your father and your mother that your days may be long in the land that the Lord is giving you." And then in the New Testament, Paul repeats that in Ephesians chapter 6, and he says, honor your father and your mother. This is the first commandment with a promise that it may go well with you and that you may live long in the land. This is an important day because it affords us and reminds us of just how important it is to honor our parents and specifically our mothers today. I say that unapologetically, you cannot claim to have a God-honoring relationship with God and not be honoring your parents. It's that simple. What did Jesus do as he's hanging from the cross? He looks at his mother and he honors her. Those seven saints, he has very little strength to say anything. And yet they're at the cross. On the cross, he gave us the example and the importance of honoring our parents. Honoring our parents flows out of our obedience and our worship for God. Let me ask you this. Where does teenage rebellion often first show up? You know the answer. Disrespect for parents. Because the Bible says this in Proverbs chapter 30 in verse 17, the eye that mocks a father and scorns to obey a mother will be picked out by the ravens of the valley and eaten by vultures. And I don't know if I've shared that, the truth. It's a fascinating picture there, and I won't share it. You study it on your own, of just the truth and the reality of what is going on in a person's heart when they are choosing not to honor their mother and father. Is your mom perfect? I'll help you out with the answer. No. Okay, you get a pass. There's no passes. You obey and you honor your parents as what? Unto the Lord. I am so convinced, sadly from example, in my own life, you want to jump start your spiritual life, start honoring your mother if you haven't. The second bucket that we come to on Mother's Day and over the years, you often hear on a Mother's Day sermon would be just simply a sermon directed to moms and women about their need to grow as godly women and mothers. And the proverbial Proverbs 31 is often preached, right? And rightly so, because mothers and women, like all of us, We don't want to stay the same. We want to grow and we want to change more and more into the image of Jesus. And Mother's Day affords us that opportunity to share the truth of all the wisdom of Proverbs 31. A third bucket that we often come to on Mother's Day, I would characterize that third bucket would be something like this. Mother's Day allows us the opportunity to challenge mothers concerning the vision of motherhood. The vision of motherhood has been lost in our culture slowly over the last couple of years. I said years, it's really a couple generations. Motherhood has been devalued in our society. To the point that mothers who view motherhood as their highest calling in life are often looked down upon. Motherhood is an incredible calling, and I want you to think about it with me this morning. God creates an eternal soul, and he makes it in a mother's womb. God then allows the mother to give birth to what he has created in the womb, an eternal soul that will exist forever. And the mother gives birth to that eternal soul, and then God entrusts his creation to the mother to nourish and shape and develop and mature into someone who becomes like him. Because that is the goal for all of us, is to become like Jesus. And I just tell you, I put that calling up there with any calling a person can ever have in life. And because motherhood has been so devalued in our culture, there needs to be a counter reaction to that. And that's what Mother's Day affords us, the opportunity to install and instill and reinforce the vision and the power and the influence that God has designed mothers to be in the church and mothers to be in society. I say it like this: don't ever feel embarrassed to say that you are just a mother. All of these themes are important. And Mother's Day affords us to teach and emphasize them. But this morning I want to challenge you moms concerning a subject that is often overlooked and underemphasized in the task that God has given to you to take that eternal soul He's now entrusted to you to shape and mold to become like God. This subject is often overlooked, and it's one in which many of us have grown numb to in our lives. It's one that you know. It's one that you have tried. It is one that you have failed in many times. And as is the case, oftentimes when we try and fail, we often write it off as the possibility of it ever happening in our lives. To which then we justify to say it's really not that important. To which then a mother can say, I can mother effectively without this. So the title of my message this morning is, Moms, Don't Forget to Blank. Moms, don't forget to pray. Moms, you need to faithfully pray for your children. Don't overlook, don't underestimate the role of prayer in the raising of your child to mold them to become like Jesus. I want to answer this morning quickly two questions. Why? Moms, why? Why should you pray for your children? And then I quickly want to jump to the question of how. So you have your, did I have you open those Psalms? Psalms 127. Why? Why should you pray for your children? Psalm 127 says this. It says, unless the Lord builds the house, those who build it labor in vain. Unless the Lord watches over the city, the watchman stays awake. It is vain that you rise up early and go late to rest, eating the bread of anxious toil, for he gives to his beloved sleep. Here's why you should pray for your children, your child, because God has given you an impossible task in your own strength. What is your task, moms? I've alluded to it already, but if you could put your, you got to bookmark your bulletin. If you could put it, well, I want you to come back to Psalm 127. But just quickly, I want you to look with me at Ephesians chapter 6. It's so familiar, but I want you to see it again. Let's read it together, Ephesians chapter 6. What is this impossible task that God has given to you as mothers? Ephesians chapter 6, and we want to read those first four verses. So children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and mother. This is the first commandment with a promise that it may go well with you, that you may live long in the land. And fathers and mothers, he says, do not provoke your children to anger, but bring them up in the discipline and instruction of the Lord. And just as I alluded to earlier, moms, your task is to take that eternal soul and trust it to you to mold and seek and shape that soul with an appetite and a desire to love God, his maker. Moms, you are an amazing creation by God. But mothers cannot take that eternal soul created by God, placed in their womb, that's entrusted to them to have an appetite and desire for God. Mothers cannot make their children love God. Period. You can't do it. You can't do that in your strength alone. God-honoring mothers recognize that. As much as you want that, you cannot do that alone, in your strength alone. And so God does this in all of our lives, in all kinds of spheres in our lives that we face, that God puts impossible challenges and situations in our lives to humble us, to seek his face in prayer for wisdom and strength. And the challenge for you, moms, is this impossible task of seeking to have a child that has an appetite and a desire to love God with all their heart and soul. And it's impossible. You cannot do it. And it humbles you, and it should humble you to get at the feet of Jesus in prayer. Because God does what to the humble? God gives grace to the humble. The impossible task of parenting is designed by God to drive us to our knees in prayer. Like Paul Miller said, we do some of our best parenting on our knees. So number one, moms, you need to pray because God has chosen to give you an impossible task in your own strength. Now go back with me to Psalm 127. Here's the second reason why you need to pray for your child and children. So Psalm 127, and read with me verse 3. Behold, children are a heritage from the Lord, the fruit of the womb, a reward. Like arrows in the hands of a warrior are the children of one's youth. Here's the second reason why you must pray for your children, because God has entrusted his children to you for a time. It says in verse 3 that children are a heritage from the Lord. In other words, your children are not really yours. Your children belong to the Lord. They are his creation. They are his children. And they have been created by him for his purpose. God puts his children in our possession for a time. They are not ours. And verse 4 says, like an arrow in the hand of a warrior are the children of one's youth. He puts them, his children, in our hands for a time, for a purpose, for his purpose. He doesn't put his children in our lives so that we can live our lives through them, or so that our children can become our identity, or so that we'll have something to brag about or talk about. And we pause. Children are a blessing. Children bring us joy. There's nothing wrong talking about our children or showing pictures of them. But we must remember and not forget that the primary purpose he has given them to us is so that we then, verse 4, can shoot them out like arrows into a world to attack the darkness, to make a lasting impact, not for our name's sake, but for his, because they are not ours, they are his. What a task. What a responsibility to know that you're going to have this child in your home for a short, bitty little time, and then you are going to shoot them out into the darkness. And the more you think about the weight that these are not my children, these are his. And these are his for his purpose, not my purpose. And the more that responsibility and that weight falls on you, again, it humbles you to the point where you realize that you are insufficient in your power alone to do this. And you cry out to God in prayer. Like I said, moms are an incredible creation of God. And moms, I know, have demanding tasks and jobs that they deal with every day. And God has wired mothers differently. I had a mom for 55, lived with a mother for 40 years. God has wired mothers differently. And mothers multitask, and mothers are just amazing. But at times, let's just be honest, moms, at times you just feel exhausted, maxed out. And then you come to church on Mother's Day, and the pastor challenges you with one more thing. And you say, man, I'm just until the end of it. But it's not one more thing. It's the starting point. It's the beginning point. It's the heart of humility, of dependency, that is expressed in a perpetual cry to God. God, I cannot mother without your strength and power. Lord, I need you. And again, as I say, women in general, mothers are incredible multitaskers and do all of these many things, seems at once, but I would just ask you to consider the question, has prayer been left out of your mothering? Well, that's the why. It's an impossible task that you can't do in your strength alone. And it's a sobering responsibility that should weigh on you, of God choosing to give you his kids for a time. Well, now I'd like you to think about the question of how. That's the why. So go with me to the book of 1 Samuel again. This is a very common Mother's Day passage. I'm sure over the years, if you've been to church on a Mother's Day, you've heard this passage shared. I know I have in years past. It's in 1 Samuel 1, it's just the simple story about a lady whose name was Hannah. And Hannah had no children. And the reason she had no children was, verse 5 tells us, but to Hannah he gave a double portion because he loved her. That's her husband, Elkanah, verse 1. Though the Lord, at the end of verse 5, says, had done what? Had what? Closed her womb. And so her womb is closed. And she wants a child. So notice with me verse 11 what she does. And she vowed a vow and said, O Lord of hosts, if you will indeed look on the affliction of your servant and remember me and not forget your servant, but will give to your servant a son, then I will give him to the Lord all the days of his life. No razor shall touch his head. Here's the question. How should you pray? Well, how did she pray? She prayed specifically and pointedly. She didn't just pray for a child. She prayed for what? She prayed for a son. I would say this, moms, how should you pray specifically and pointedly? Don't be vague in your praying. God doesn't answer in generalities. He answers specifically. Every child you have, let me use the analogy of someone, every arrow you have, you've been entrusted with, is different. Every arrow, every child has a different bent, right? Every child has unique struggles, unique this and that, unique areas in their walk and spiritual life. And so, do not pray in generalities, but seek to pray specifically apropos to the special needs of your children. So I think we can learn from that. She prayed specifically. But also, if you go back to verse 11, the verse is very rich. It says this, and if I can read it again and I'll stop. And she vowed a vow and said, O Lord, host, if you will indeed look on the affliction of your servant and remember me and forget your servant, but will give to your servant a son, then, what? I will give him to the Lord all the days of his life, and no razor shall touch his head. She prayed with a God-honoring focus. It was God and his glory that drove her prayer request. Why did she want a child? Well, there's a lot of reasons today why people maybe will want a child, right? Somehow to take care of them in old age, somehow to enrich their life. As I said, many today look to their children to build an identity through their child. Her reason for wanting a child was what? It was God's glory. That's what drove her. What she prayed to God was that this child that she's going to then give back to God would advance the kingdom. And so I would say to you, pray for your children uniquely, specifically, pointedly, but each child you need to pray with a God-honoring focus. Your prayers for your child should be for their salvation. If your children aren't married yet, for godly spouses, for godly offspring, that they would know the joy of Jesus, that they would love God with all of their hearts, that God would protect them from all of the temptations and the evil. They wouldn't become a friend of the world. And you can go on and on. The Bible's full of prayer requests. And it is out of that heart that that's what we want. That's what she wanted for her kids. And it's not wrong to pray for health, and it's not wrong to pray for financial. It's not wrong, don't ever hear me wrong, but this is what drove her was the spiritual, her God-honoring desire that they would be, this child could be used for the kingdom. So I think it's healthy to examine at times our prayer lives. And our prayers, are they more for our kingdom or his kingdom? Her prayer was for his kingdom. You're there, verse 11, she prays that, and then in verse 12, we read this, and she continued praying before the Lord, and Eli's observing, the priest is observing her mouth. Pray persistently. She continued. And moms, I just say this, remember, we don't always reap in the same season in which we sow. Many of you have sowed seeds, whether as farmers out in the field, in your garden, or whatever, you don't expect it the next day. You will go out, and you will be watching. You'll be watching. But you understand you don't reap in the same season that you sow. She prayed persistently. She continued. She didn't stop praying. And lastly, and I close here, she prayed believing. She prayed believing. God answers prayers in ways that you and I would never dream of. And many of you are praying for your children or child. And you maybe are saying to yourself or have said to yourself, nothing is happening. God is not answering. God doesn't love me. He's not answering my prayer. And so you have grown weary in your prayer life. Who are we to say that God is not doing something? Can I say that again? Who are we to say that God is not doing something? My testimony and your testimony this morning would be similar. That God seldom, seldom answers prayers the way I thought he would. And just because you don't think he's answering doesn't mean that he isn't. God doesn't answer prayers linearly. Like, this will happen, and then this will happen, and then God answers prayer in the multitude of his sovereignty and of his wisdom, through a process of circumstances that he, as the sovereign God of the universe, orchestrates. Can I say this? God is doing a crazy amount of work in our lives that we have no idea about. Remind yourself that his way and his timing is always perfect. And the more able you are to wait long for answered prayers, the stronger your faith will grow. Because God answers prayer. Because that's his promise. And I don't have to figure out or understand how he's going to answer. If I do make that my focus, I'll get discouraged and I'll quit. My job is not to figure out or understand how he's going to answer. My job is to persevere in prayer, believing that God can do more than I could ever imagine or dream. Think about it. Heaven, oh, we want to go there, right? I think one of the things that will be so fascinating about heaven is that in heaven, we will experience this back and forth and dialogue of sharing our experiences down here, and how the prayers of people and how God then turned all of these different circumstances and situations around, and how God caused all of these things to answer our prayers and changed our lives. I wish I had something flashy to say to you this morning. But I say it like this. One of the greatest investments you can make in your child's life is to pray for your child. Moms, you want the best for your child, your children? Pray for them. There's more to do than pray. But until you pray, there's nothing more to do. Moms, don't forget to pray. Well, Father, we thank you that you hear. Father, this is what you told us, this is what you promised us, and we stake our lives on the truth that when your children cry out to you, that you hear. And Father, we are so thankful to have a God of the universe that cares about us. A God of all power, of all grace and mercy that cares and hears and has the ability to do your perfect will in our lives and in our children. We confess that we give up and that we fail, that we stop praying. And so, Father God, only by your grace and your mercy would you continue to humble us, to break us, to make us dependent, where we're so low, where the natural cry of our hearts is to you. Forgive us for our pride. Forgive us for our dependency on our wisdom and our strength and our abilities. Help us to see your greatness. Father, we just thank you. Help the mothers here to remain steadfast in their prayer. I pray this in the name of Jesus. Amen.